Hello, everybody. Brian here from quantlabs.net. In this podcast episode, I want to go over a pretty good article again from quantinsti.com. This article is entitled, it's quite lengthy, Hedge Fund Jobs, Job at a Hedge Fund. So I'm going to take the highlights from this. This will be in my post. All right. So most of you already know what a hedge fund is. I'm not going to go over too much detail here, but there's a lot of detail in the article. But basically, basic requirement to get a job at a hedge fund is a bachelor's degree from finance, accounting, statistics, or economics, or engineering, or math. Certifications really help you, be a cut above the rest. So these certifications include the CFA, which is quite difficult to get. Get an MBA, an FRM, also a Master of Finance, Master of Science in Finance, or a PhD, which is even better. Some of the jobs I've seen in England want you to have at least a minimum master's. And then on top of that, maybe a PhD and a CFA, especially in this market, the way it's really competitive now and fewer jobs. Yeah, and just so. A note here, March 15, 2024. So some of the skills you'll need, I think this is pretty evident. A lot of soft skills, decision-making, communication skills, adaptability, attention to detail, teamwork, ethical conduct, which I think is kind of funny. Ability to work in a fast-paced environment. When you hear fast-paced environment, think of it as high pressure, like a pressure cooker. Specific skills. Analytical, quantitative, that's where the math comes in. The financial acumen, which means the trading experience. So hopefully you've got projects on GitHub and the like to show that. Risk management skills, those are all your strategies and models that you may have developed on a GitHub. And most importantly, the programming skills. So this article mentions that you need to know Python or MATLAB. I think it's more than that. You could probably throw in, oh, that's for the quantitative, I'd agree with. So ways to get in if you're young, coming out of school, or you are in university, internship's the best. There's a lot more opportunity than I ever saw. But at the same time, it's a lot more competitive, though. Obviously, you have to continuously learn by listening to podcasts like this or just joining whatever services that are out there. But a lot of it is just doing, not just copying and understanding, but actually doing something new, creative that will put you above the rest. Again, as I said, a GitHub project or a GitHub repository, and you would market yourself as a brand. And you can do that through GitHub because a lot of companies will look at coding skills more importantly than ever. I mean, the great example I keep using is Goldman Sachs is no longer a bank. It's a technology company because a very high percentage, probably 30, 40% of their staff now are all coders. Another area to get into is networking. Mentions here LinkedIn. I find LinkedIn kind of useless. I just don't see high people in positions hanging out on LinkedIn to answer questions to people, trying to get in the market. Usually, how they'll figure that out is by probably networking through graduation or the, what do you call it, the school's services that they come from, especially the founders, managing directors, so on. They will have access to those networks of those up-and-coming students that are top dogs in their programs. So that's more who hedge funds would be interested in. Plus, I mentioned other in these podcasts for the last few weeks. One was at IMC doing a contest online. Those teams will usually get hired as an intern, but a nice, well, the top internship you'll get. So that's another way they do that. Some very unique ways to find talent. And these competitions are getting bigger and better as time passes and more competition steps in. So, what are the larger hedge funds out there? Bridgewater, Renaissance Technologies, that's Jim Simmons Fund, Two Sigma Investments, D.E. Shaw. Just so you know, I mean, that's where Jeff Bezos came out of D.E. Shaw. Citadel, Ken Griffin's company. They're pretty prolific. AQR Management, Point 72 Asset Management, that's Steve Cohen, Elliott Management. So there's those. Now there's different jobs available in the hedge funds. They have analyst, which is entry level, associate, senior associate, portfolio manager. Then it gets into the management, which is where a lot of these funds want you to go. Executive roles, leadership roles, operation manager, risk manager, and trader. So again, you'll find more detailed descriptions in those, but here's some of the salaries you can expect to get. I do think that these are somewhat realistic with this bad economy we're in. Again, March 15th, 2024. Hedge fund sales, 100 grand to half a million plus big bonus. Commodities trader, 100 to half a million. These are base plus a heavy bonus. So why is it going to be a good space to be in, I think, especially as a futures trader or an options trader and doing a lot of the high frequency stuff in there. I've also seen, oddly enough, ETF as well now used to market making and arbitrage, not just futures and options. There's still crypto, but I think as people start to realize, I'm gonna leave that for another podcast, but I think crypto, namely Bitcoin, is more controlled now. So yeah, I'll talk about that in another podcast. Hedge fund analyst, quant analyst, 75 to 200K plus possible bonus. That's more of a junior role. Quant researcher, these are the guys, the people that make the models, 100 to 300K with possible bonus. And the fund manager, these are probably the founders and the portfolio managers. They make the big bucks. So it takes a while to get into that level. $300,000 to $20 million plus performance base. That's pretty big. So if you're in that level, that's where the big money is. Some will just say, screw it, I'll start my own fund. So these are, they make notes that these these salaries are from Indeed, LinkedIn, Payscale, and Glassdoor. So here's some of the pros at a hedge fund. It is an entrepreneurial culture, but it is a real sweatshop. If you can succeed, you can do well. If you fail maybe once or twice, you're out. And that probably means you're out of the career as well. Performance-based compensation. So if the economy's good, the trading's good, the trading performance is good, you'll do well. As it says here, steep learning curve and an intellectually challenged. So if you're one of these high-performing type of people's high intellect, you'll probably do pretty good here. Diverse asset classes. So here they talk about equity, fixed income, derivative, and real estate. So it broadens your financial knowledge and skill set, which I agree with. But I guess you might start to see more fixed income coming down the pipes with a bad economy. But the derivatives market's where it's at. Plus, and that's futures options, plus the equities as well. Plus, there's a whole lot of other instruments that we don't have access to as retail traders, private equity, private credit. All that, dark pools. There's lots of other things we don't know about. Then there's networking, which is very good. So they get a lot of talented people in there. So you can open up a lot of doors. And if you're working with a large, well-known company, recruiters will fall over themselves to get your attention. So there's that as well. Now the cons. Some of these are funny. Okay, we know about long hours and high pressure. We know it's stressful. I can speak at one place I was at where I got to know one of the trading desk leads. He was not even 35. He was already taking all kinds of medication at that age to make money. So imagine where he's at 50. Job security, yeah, as I said, it's very cutthroat because as the more young graduates come out of school, at whatever level, PhD, master's, they're bushy-eyed, very learning the latest technology and math concepts, whatever. And they're willing to do it for next to nothing. So as you move up the ladder, hedge funds know that. And if you're just a questionable performer, they'll replace you with somebody making half of what you're earning. And they may be able to fill the void that you're not providing in a job. And again, limited work-life balance. Like you'll be literally pitching tents under your desk to get by in these jobs. And don't forget, a lot of these environments are probably going to exploit you. For example, back in the day, if you're doing co-ops at places like Goldman Sachs and some of the other bigger banks and hedge funds, probably you'll just end up working weekends, working on some spreadsheet, nothing exciting for some spreadsheet presentation. You become the grunt of the industry for these people. There's lots of frequently asked questions here, which I'm not going to go into. So the other area I want to cover are the different types of quants. This was originally another article I posted a few days ago on my Discord, but it's been removed now. So the question was the different types of quants being from banks, prop shops, and hedge funds. So I've already kind of talked about a good description of the hedge funds. With the prop shops, you're dealing with the Jane Street, the likes, the Optivers. And then you get into the banks, like let's say Barclays. These are from the standpoint in the UK and the employers there. So here we're dealing with different positions within these companies. Now, this is an article from last year from QuantStart with the different types of quantitative analysts. First is the trader, food, top of the food chain. Well, because you're in a quant financial community, that means you're the top analyst out there. And as I said, it doesn't matter what level, prop shop, bank, hedge fund, you're going to be involving a lot of the modeling using a PhD and now artificial intelligence and applied math as your major. Here it says, as a quant trader can be extremely lucrative if the firm and trading group has a run of good trading years. I've said that already based upon performance. So it says here it's not uncommon for the best quant traders to be retiring in their mid to late 20s. That's how good it can be. And they go out and they do their own thing. They start their own fund. Some, well, I'd say a good chunk of them don't do too well, but there's the odd one that does well in a startup. Quant researchers, these are the guys that do the pure math, PhD in stochastic calculus. They're more in coming in from a role of academia, not practice. So they could be in alternative research firms, larger hedge funds, and their approach is what they call a blue sky or open sky approaches, like open ideas with no limitation how to get a return in the markets. So you won't be limited. Quant researchers are also at investment banks. They'll be in the middle office. And they usually don't implement the models. They just come up with the ideas and they just pass their work on to, here's the difference between the two, either to a financial engineer or a quant developer. So financial engineers, they are a quant analyst. Now this is coming from an experienced person. To me, a quant developer and a financial engineer would have been the same thing, but here they're saying it's different. So what's the difference? They're tasked with a product often sold by sales team to clients within a large bank and figuring out how to correctly price it. This will involve tools of stochastic calculus or risk-neutral pricing with the ability to implement the model into an existing library with C++, C# or Java. So that's coming from the prior position of the quant researcher. So these people are found in these financial engineers are found in fixed income, foreign exchange asset class, and derivative products are prevalent. So that comes back to what I said earlier, the futures and options market. But you'll hear more about fixed income as the economy gets worse, because that's one of the areas you'll get a return, not in the equity space. Financial engineer will have background in physics or engineering, utilizing their modeling skills to implement new financial products. Usually, for any of these, from what I hear, they want people that can think like a person from the background of physics on the math front. So that might actually could be applied to more a quant researcher for the physics. Okay, now we get into the quant developer. So these are two types. Quant devs in the financial industry, the first type will work closely with quant analysts to implement or optimize their financial model. They do a prototype coding, MATLAB, R, or Python, and they rewrite it for another language like C or C++ or Java. They work closely to the money and reside in the front office of a investment bank. So they could be working in, on the trading desk. So I've seen job descriptions where if they give you a model idea on late Friday, they want it done by the Sunday. The deadlines are very tight. Again, quant developer, the second type of quant developer deal with financial pricing data and trading system architecture. They code up the raw infrastructure, allowing the quant trader analysts to run their model and make money. This means hooking up databases to business logic and brokerage APIs. Investment banks can be mean working on maintaining a large scale legacy system. Those are usually written in Java or C++. That's why you see a lot of the C++ or Java out there because of the legacy trading systems that they use. These quants will often be close to the money and will reside. Oh, I just did that. Yeah, okay. So the second type of quant developer, blah, blah, blah. So continuing from this. This means hooking up databases to business logic and brokerage API. Investment banks mean they can be working on maintaining a large-scale system, or if employed by a fund, they work on greenfield projects related to new algorithms. So when you see greenfield, it's brand new. In banks, this will be typically a middle office role. Okay. And again, extremely high-paying role that sits in the quant development arena is that of the star C, C++ developer who understands Unix network programming, low latency, and the ins and outs of the kernel. These are the people that you hear about are making 500,000, 600, up to 1 million and beyond. These are the people we're talking about here, the extremely high paying, as it says. These individuals can be found working in the secretive world of ultra high frequency trading, where trade orders are now measured in milliseconds. If an individual possesses this particular skill, they can command a base compensation package of 250 or more. No, I've it depends on the firm and your experience. I've seen it, as I said, up to 1 million plus, depending upon the firm and you're at. You got to realize you'll be signing all kinds of very tightly bound NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. So when you move on to another fund, they need to make sure that you're not taking those ideas with you to a new fund. And they may actually go to court over it. So you have to be careful here if you go into these type of rules. Anyways, it's interesting there. I'll probably put one more article for you, and we'll leave it at that. Again, if you want to know more, go over to the Discord link I'll provide. Get on my email list for some free trading technical stuff along with our Substack if you're interested in what I'm trading. On that, thanks for watching or listening, I should say, and we will talk to you later.